Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
Broadcasting from the WEEI studios, powered by Verizon, 93.7 WEEI-FM and HD1, Lawrence, Boston, and Odyssey Sports Station.
This hour of Afternoons is brought to you by East Coast Metal Roofing. Save 10% on a brand new metal roofing system during their Spring Into Savings event. Visit eastcoastmetalroofing.com for details.
Hurts on the sneak. Touchdown!
Well, they used the long cadence. We heard a few cadences in there to make sure the Chiefs didn't jump in, and this play's been virtually unstoppable. And we asked some of the Chiefs players this week, how do you stop that play? Chris Jones, you see that technique. He was trying to just throw his back into the offensive line. It's just so much power as they push you right into the end zone.
This is WEEI Afternoons
with Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy Stevens,
and three-time Super Bowl champion Ted Johnson on WEEI.
Excuse me, could you tell
me? Bye-bye. I'm sorry, what? What part didn't you understand? The buh or the bye? Bye-bye.
Do you recognize that voice?
I do, but I think Ted Johnson's going to be very disappointed when the tush push is not told to go buh or bye.
Oh, bye-bye.
The proposal is here, but we'll see if it is picked up by the Rules Committee. If you remember last year, there was a lot of discussion at the owners' meetings about the competition committee.
Yep.
It will be interesting to see if it has more traction. Now, the losers...
Oh, so this is the second year it's been proposed to ban it.
I don't know if... Last year, it may have just been a discussion. I don't know if there was a definitive proposal. Right, I'd have to go back and look. This year...
That sounds about right.
The losers, excuse me, the Packers, are crying over spilt milk and don't think it's fair.
So people know Andy's saying the Packers lost to the Vikings in the wild card round.
It's funny how that works. You lose to them, and then you try to change the rules instead of getting better and maybe beating them, you losers.
I think I've put the best argument to ban it out there. And I do.
I like your argument.
I don't know how you argue against...
I don't like the play, period. It's a rugby play. It seems to go against everything I've watched, understood, and appreciated about football.
Are you with me on this?
I am. I've never been a fan of
the play. Go against? I agree. Your argument, I love. Your argument would be my solution. Let the defense do what they need to do to stop it. Boom. Done. Keep the play. But what do you mean, like, it goes against everything you believe football to be, or however?
Because it's not an individual, like, it's a team sport, obviously, but it's like seven guys making one football play. It changes the entire dynamic of the game. Like, it's never supposed to have been me pushing you to go forward. That's like roller hockey, where like somebody comes over and whips someone else around. You have to make a football play.
Rugby scrum. Tell me how this works.
Correct.
So you have one team that they all lock.
They
arms,
all interlock,
and then they all lock with the other team too, right?
Yeah,
and
that's the scrum.
And so now it's both teams are pushing.
Yeah, it's
at
a moving pile. Yeah, like this.
So theoretically, so people think, oh, it's a rugby play. Well, it's not, because one team gets to push and the other team does not get to push.
And that's where I wish, why don't you send a proposal on the other side? Ted Johnson, former Patriots linebacker, middle linebacker, middle of the defense, just let us push.
I'm fine just giving you my thoughts.
Another t-shirt.
Here on the show, I don't need to make any formal
proposal. But also, like, somebody pointed this out the last time we had that very heated, elongated tush push discussion on the WEI Afternoon Show.
It's back.
Somebody on the text line pointed out how in rugby you're also allowed to basically like make that human tower of guys, and you can send somebody up for an inbounds. For an inbounds pass. Well, then allow that, because I said my whole thing was, well, if we're going to allow people to push other people in the end zone, then I should be allowed to leapfrog the line.
But why don't you get
Jamie Collins, Shane McClellan, let me do it.
But why don't you get mad at the traditional push in the end zone when, you know, Ramondre Stevenson goes off right tackle and then you have that little,
I don't like that either.
And he gets
Make the play yourself you get stopped.
That's different. The ball snaps.
I get it.
It's not at the snap of the ball where you're pushing offensive linemen who weigh 300 pounds. Sometimes you're pushing wide receivers out on the perimeter. It's not apples to apples, is all I'm saying.
No, it isn't. But I think the easiest answer is your answer. Your answer is the answer I like. Let the defense push back, because I enjoy that a team has found a very specific, strategic way to do something.
Break the rules, yeah.
Not break the rules, because they wouldn't have to change the rules.
Feels breaky
to me. Bend the rules. Hey, you played for the Patriots. You should know about bending rules.
Hey.
I like Fair the point. Play, so I prefer your solution than the Packers' solution. Don't eliminate the offense. Help the defense.
There you go, bud.
And then see what happens. And the way they
Why hasn't anybody said that? I haven't heard anybody say that yet.
I don't know.
It makes so much sense.
That's why I need you to get on the horn. Yeah,
keep the play. Just let the defense push.
Okay.
And make it a fair fight.
So we've talked a lot about the tush push. It's a passionate project for Ted Johnson. But there's other rules. You brought one up yesterday, this reseeding of playoff teams.
Yeah.
Based solely on record, not by division winners. So that issue when you have, like last year, multiple teams in the NFC North that have really good records, they don't drop all the way down to wild card. They'll just be the 2 seed or the 3 seed, wherever their record puts them. So,
for example, the Vikings should have been, in this new proposal, they'd have been the 2nd seed, yet the old rules are the rules that are now, they were the 5th seed.
So we like it, we dislike it, we support it, we think it'll pass.
You know, I'm all about fair. I'm just like, that's just how my brain's wired. Does it feel fair that a 14-2 team has to be a 5 seed and go on the road to play a team that's won 3 less regular season games? Isn't the regular season the most, like, we want to make it important and valuable? And so there's no better way than changing the rules to what they're proposing.
I like the idea of reseeding. Like, you won your division. Congratulations. Winning the AFC East when Seattle, now granted they won on the famous Beastquake run, but when Seattle was 7-9, I want to say, maybe?
Ish.
Yeah, 7-9-ish, 7-8-1 maybe, the old area code. They should have had to have gone on the road. Like, sure, you're division champs, but that's just the way it sort of breaks up. I like the entire, like the NBA, the MLB, they do it everywhere else. Just break it up and reseed it.
Why don't you think they change it?
I think they are hooked on the value of divisions and an extension of that.
What's the value of it, though?
I don't know.
Hats, shirts.
Oh, definitely hats and shirts.
Monetized.
But also, I think TV. Because they've made all these division games the end of the season. And if you devalue the division games, you devalue those television ratings.
Well, that's a hell of a point you brought up there, Andy.
I think that's the first time you've ever said that to me.
It feels really good.
But
I
wait,
like that.
Because your team won't be hosting a playoff game? Like, if you win the AFC East, but you still have to go on the road for the playoff game, you still get hats and t-shirts.
No. But if I'm on the 6th seed, it's like, okay, I'm the 6th seed. But if I win the division and I'm now hosting a wild card team because I'm now the 3rd seed or whatever, like, they've made those games, they want those games to matter, and by mattering, they want people to watch them,
right.
And they lose value if the division loses value. That's how I would, and I think that would play into it, especially the more they try to monetize every game. Who knows? For all I know, those will be pay-per-views in 10 years. The division battles, pay-per-view, like, that's the way
they're going. Already on streamers.
That's a whole side issue for me, is the way this TV money and chasing and chopping it all up into different pieces. Mm-hmm. I hate that, but that's an old thing. I don't think they'll change this for that reason.
I wouldn't hate it, but I get it.
I wouldn't hate it. Historically, they love divisions, and there's money that's putting value on the divisions.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yep.
The NFL loves division, that's
so
for sure.
So my favorite proposal in here is...
There's a couple good ones.
They want to remove the automatic first down on illegal contact and defensive holding.
Yes.
Because, and I've seen this thousands of times, the Patriots did this thousand. It's 3rd and 17, incomplete pass, backside. Like, now you have to think, and I don't know, you know, would coaches do it? I can give up the 5 yards and still play. Like, I don't know how they would look at it, but I think it's, people always say pass interference is the big one because you get the spot foul. Some of these third down little rinky dink illegal contact change games.
Yeah.
They extend, it's third down.
Third down at 16.
Right.
And
you get a 5-yard penalty.
But you get a first down?
Yeah. First down.
Automatic first down. No, wait, you should just get the yards.
16 and that's five. It. I learned in math that the alligator says 16 is bigger. Why do I get a first down? It's way too much. Do you think they'll change it, though?
I do not.
In a world where offense rules.
Why? Because that leads to less scoring.
Yep.
Offense rules. Less scoring, that the NFL does not want less scoring. So
that's right.
Anything to keep the scoring up is
fair.
Is what
fairness is
do.
Bad. You're right.
So they do not want to be fair when
fairness.
It comes to the offense.
They've been screwing defenses for years.
So I think that's I bet you that would be, if you did change the rule, I'd love to see how that impacts the scores and the outcomes of these games. I bet you it does drastically. How many penalties bail offenses out time and time again?
Oh, all the time.
All the time.
Especially it feels
if
like
the
for
Chiefs.
Good teams. It was the Patriots originally for
years.
I'm
saying we're doing business as business is done now.
And I do think those offenses put a little stress on defenses. They're kind of freaking out a little bit. They might grab. They might do something. And like the idea of Brady or Patrick Mahomes. And in a way, you kind of self-fulfilling failure. Oh, I'm going to grab this guy because I don't want Brady to beat me. Well, you just allowed him to beat you without even really throwing the football. Mm-hmm. I do think they would at least consider it. But correct me if I'm wrong, guys. My brain from last year, memory not great. Wasn't scoring down? Weren't we talking about early last year scoring being down in the NFL?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, if the scoring's down already, they're certainly not going to do something that might exacerbate scoring being down.
I would agree. And last point.
It's just not fair.
I want to make on that is.
It doesn't have anything to do with it.
People, you know, what the offense would say is, well, wait a minute. If a guy is on a hitch and go, right, a slant and go or hitch and go, and you see the cornerback bite, and then he realizes, oh, crap, he's going to go up on, he just grabs him.
Right.
So instead of an easy, how often does that happen?
Not
honestly.
Really.
It hardly ever happens.
Because
I just can't. So what they're saying is the defenses will mug you underneath and chance a 5-yard penalty as long as it's not an auto first down.
Because when an offense commits the penalty, they're never usually about to prevent a touchdown on blown coverage. So if a defensive guy like, oh, he reaches over, it's only defensive holding. It was 3rd and 9. Now it's 3rd and 4. Like. No, if he didn't do that, there was a chance there was a 40-yard gain or a touchdown at hand, so that's the penalty.
But how many times, because that's always the argument, sometimes we've even had proposals in past years, the pass interference, make it the college rule, 15 yards, not a spot foul. Yep. And the argument is always, oh, these guys are too good, they'll just tackle people if they know it's, you know.
It's, you can't, it's hard to, I think it's, that's ridiculous.
How many?
It might happen every now
and
again.
Right, a couple. But I always say, how many times are you going to beaten so badly that you want to tackle him, but you're within range to tackle him.
Right.
If you're beaten that badly, I can't tackle him.
I think it's kind of a moot point. I agree with you on that.
I don't really think that's that big an issue. But the other real issue is here, they do these every year, and then a lot of them get tabled or shot down.
Yeah, but I like
very few get pushed through.
Yeah.
What about the next one, though, before...
What's the next one?
Well, the next one is the overtime rules.
Yes, they want to make it like postseason overtime in the regular season. I think they'll shoot that down. You know why?
Well, so to be clear, so right now the overtime rules in the regular season are different from the overtime rules in the playoffs, which is insane to me.
It doesn't make sense. But it makes sense on one level. The first game starts at 1, the second game starts at 4 or 4:15, and they need to make sure that the TV is ready to start at 4 or 4:15.
Yeah, but who doesn't love DVRing it? You still get the ratings and the metrics and completing a thrilling overtime game.
Dan Ball?
There's also a precedent for that. Other sports, hockey goes 3-on-3. There are other sports that change at regular season and playoff.
And baseball, you don't put a ghost runner on in the playoffs, right?
Correct.
No, but the only thing is it's a little bit different, Dan. I hear your point. So it is a different game in overtime. But the NFL, to start every game, one person gets the ball, and then after, if they possess it and can't do anything with it, then the next team gets the ball. In overtime, in the regular season, if the first team scores a touchdown, the other team does not get a chance. They should get a chance to possess the ball one time in overtime.
And I would also argue that in the NFL, the regular season games matter more. They're closer to playoff games. Whereas in baseball or hockey, 82 games, 162 games, if you could get screwed by one overtime game in the regular season. But in the NFL, that could change your – we were just talking about seeding. The difference between all of a sudden you're a 1 seed or a 2 seed, now maybe you're a 6 seed, I think you can make a strong argument. I think the pushback is they want the games to fit in the TV window.
Maybe.
And the more you open it up,
yeah.
the more you open it up to longer games and pushing things back. And, joining it already in progress and all these things.
Mm-hmm.
They're a TV product. They are a TV product. The TV, you start with TV and look how it worked backwards from the TV.
The you reverse engineer from where the billions come from, the billions and the billions
Which
and then more billions.
Which isn't dumb. I mean, it's not dumb,
it's not.
And benefits everyone because of their model.
And these streamers, by the way, I was just reading something about how Apple TV, we've heard that they may get involved in bidding on NFL rights.
Oh, yeah.
They're losing. Do you know what Apple TV Plus, which, you know, Ted Lasso, some of the other stuff they carry, they are losing just a small amount of money every year on streaming, just $1 billion. So you think I guarantee you the next chance they get to buy a Christmas Day game like Netflix or get back involved in that, they will. Why? Profit margin. Because they just want to get into the money-making business with the NFL.
Football is king. We see that chart every year, whatever number of things it is. And then there's the couple other events like the Golden Globes
and
the Oscars.
But it was lower this past year.
It was lower.
It wasn't 90-something. It was only 78.
Hey, why do you think that is?
Why is that?
Some of their games aren't on TV anymore.
Ew, see? There
right?
you go.
Wouldn't that, that's how I look at that.
They went to Netflix.
You
they
put it
went
on
to
Peacock. You put it on Netflix. Less
you
people are going to watch
Tubi.
It.
You put it on
Grandma
ZipZap.
Goes to Channel 10 and then to 7 and then goes... Where the hell's my football game? And somebody says it's streaming, and she goes, "I don't know what that means. I got to go stream
and
in the bathroom."
Grandma reaches for a handle of 7 and 7.
Yeah,
just
absolutely. Seagrams. Stiz, you got a little audio you want to share on the tush push? Ted's favorite topic.
I did. Nick just shared this with me. This is from NFL Live on ESPN.
Yeah, banning it.
No, I don't, and I get it. Oh. I truly understand what everybody's saying, but there's been no data. That's come out and say that this play is dangerous from a health and safety standpoint. Mm-hmm. So why are we getting rid of it? Because most of the NFL can't stop it? Okay, go out, practice it, get better. Like, the play's open to everybody. If you can't stop it, why don't you implement it yourself on your team? So I think this is a legal play. This is a good play. For those who are crying, get rid of it. I got one thing to say to you. Get better at it, defend it. If you can't defend it, then maybe you should try doing it yourself. I love what Philadelphia does because they have a huge offensive line. These guys are 6'5", 6'6", 320, 350 pounds, and they're using what they have to their advantage. And so for every coach out there, shame on
McFarlane.
You for wanting to get rid of a play that's been successful just because you can't stop it.
So you like the
idea? Shame on you, Boog.
Thunder is coming. I
Shame
feel it.
Shame on you, Boog. I mean,
how do you get better? You saw what Kansas City tried to do in the Super Bowl. Use some sort of weird zigzag defensive formation where Chris Jones cut in at a diagonal. You know what happened to him? He got real hurt.
Yeah.
Well, like, it's dangerous.
It was also dumb.
It was a bad
Putting
thing.
Your best player's neck sideways to people that are hitting him.
I think Spags was probably like, oh, no, we got punched in the mouth.
Really,
I got to start doing weird
there's
things.
There's no way to stop it. There is no way to stop it.
Push
or
back.
Else team would...
Push back.
And that's illegal.
That's why you have the way. That's why you need to make it legal, Ted Johnson.
Okay.
You need to be like one of those lobbyists that brings things to the masses.
That's what I bring it to the masses every day. Right
I know,
here.
But we got to get it to Robert Kraft, who needs to get it to the NFL. They need to propose. Your boy Vrabel, shoot him a text
I'll
right now.
Him text
tell
now.
Him to make a proposal.
The three proposals that are out there that we talked
Stretch
about, I think they should all be allowed. I agree to all of them.
You'd vote for all of them.
Change the overtime rules, change the illegal contact, and change the tush push. Boom.
I think none of them are going to be changed.
Yeah, probably not.
They'll be tabled for future considerations or
probably
something.
Probably not.
617-779-7937. Do you have any thoughts on the tush push? Can you prove Ted Johnson wrong? If so, we'd love to hear it because Booger McFarland couldn't do it. It just made Ted a little angrier here on WEEI Afternoons. Up next, we're going to talk a little Boston Bruins hockey. Bruins play Bruce Cassidy's Golden Knights tonight, and Razor will join us to talk about what the hell's going on with that hockey team and the post-trade Brad Marchand deadline moves continue. It's WEEI Afternoons with Razor up next.
Bye-bye.
WEEI Afternoons with Hart, Fitzy, and Johnson. Weekdays 2 to 6. Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
All right, here's what's trending now on WEEI and WEEI.com. The Celtics have been sold to private equity investor Bill Chisholm for an initial $6.1 billion, with the final valuation expected to reach $7.3 billion. $6 billion. This is the most ever paid for a professional sports team, topping the $6 billion that Josh Harris paid back in 2023 for the NFL's Washington Commanders. Sources then told ESPN's Shams Charania that Wick Grosbeck will continue to serve as the franchise's CEO and governor through the 2027-28 season. This year's Celtics, meanwhile, start a six-game road trip tomorrow night when they play in Utah. The Bruins visit the Vegas Golden Knights tonight in the first of a five-game Western road trip. Puck drop is at 10 p.m. Boston enters play tonight 4 points out of the playoffs. Free agent wide receiver Stephon Diggs visited Foxborough yesterday to meet with the Patriots. Per ESPN's Mike Reese, the 31-year-old was seventh in the NFL in receptions before tearing his ACL on October 27th while playing for Houston. And the Raiders have signed Patriots restricted free agent linebacker Christian Ellis to an offer sheet. The team has until Monday to match that offer. Going on right now in March Madness action, three games are underway. Auburn is leading Alabama State 50-36. Right now, Clemson is trailing McNeese. That score is 31-13 at the half. Clemson, the number 5 seed on that side of the bracket. And VCU is leading BYU 17-14. Four games already final from earlier this afternoon. Right now, you can flip over to WEEI AM 850 to hear live game coverage of March Madness games. You can also catch the Hockey East semifinals and finals on the Odyssey app today and tomorrow. Just search the term Hockey East. The Red Sox visit the Minnesota Twins tonight. First pitch is at 6:05. Brockton native Sean Newcomb starts on the mound, and he sports an 0.93 ERA through 9 2/3 innings of spring work. You can listen to the game on WEEI FM 93.7 and across the Shaw's and Star Market WEEI Red Sox Radio Network. Shaw's perfecting the art of fresh. And finally, from earlier this afternoon, the Braves have signed former Red Sox outfielder Alex Verdugo to a one-year contract worth $1.5 million, and they immediately optioned him down to AAA. I'm Dan Ball. This is trending now on WEEI and WEEI.com. Nesson Bruins analyst Andrew Raycroft joins the guys, and that's next.
You're listening to WEEI Afternoons with Hart, Fitzy, and Johnson.
WEEI Afternoons, first day of spring, and we are rolling along here. I feel the energy. Like, you turn that corner, spring is like summer's coming, and I think we all get a little bit of that today.
It's a little gray. It's kind of chilly.
Yeah, but no, it's better. Like, but we know what's coming.
It's coming.
There were a couple nights last week. I watched the Celtics game outside in my backyard.
Mm-hmm.
And nice. Fire.
Oh. Through the window of your neighbors who can afford their cable?
Yeah. Hey, listen. However it goes.
You have a TV outside?
I bring my iPad. So I have a fire pit out back. I bring my iPad. Sometimes I'll drag the TV out back if I have like fun.
Your Wi-Fi or do you just grab someone else's?
No, I have my own Wi-Fi.
My man.
All right, I'm happy to
love
that
setup.
That's a good, well, except when we're in a red flag warning and he's got his fire going and the firemen have now, to come.
He's got
and tell
enough
him to put
empty Sam bottles out there. He can sprinkle a couple of drops on there. He's fine. He's fine.
Just as long as he doesn't breathe on the fire, because that's pure alcohol coming out of his.
Oh, my
gosh. Well, I tried to burn leaves over the winter and in a barrel, like, you know, and they were
what
like,
what are you, yeah, in the opening of a Rocky movie?
It just seemed like a really good idea, and I could get it done quicker.
It's not the 70s. It's
until
not
the
70s.
Firefighter showed up.
My grandmother once had the fire department show up in Braintree. She was outside burning leaves, and the leaf fire was so good that she took bills outside, and she had, like, leaves and bills going, and the fire department showed up, and they were like, "You serious?" The whole neighborhood could go. She's like, "Oh, I'm sorry."
Poor grandma. She's doing, you know, best she can.
Mm-hmm.
What she knows.
Sure, right. At the time.
When you say bills, you mean
like not Belichick's, Russell's. Yeah, no, yeah, no, like bills. Like
instead of shredding them for like safety, she was burning them.
Yeah, she literally would throw like her
credit card bill,
her Filene's card, the Jordan Marsh card.
Gotcha.
You don't
gotcha.
Want that falling in the wrong hands.
No, you do not. My grandmother wasn't so rich. She was like, "See this hundo? Yeah.
Could just cut it, maybe next time."
But she was from a different time.
Yeah. Burn it. Got it.
Yeah, I've actually done that. I've actually burned some bills.
I do too.
When I had a bunch of stuff.
You know, you hold on to your receipt. You hold on to your receipts and your stubs for 7 years. So you, yeah. And then after that, you usually don't get audited. So we have 7 year burn parties at our house all the time.
Yeah.
Good to know.
Did
man.
Everybody hear Ted though? He said it kind of quietly. Pictures.
Pictures.
photos, notes from your former head coach. Medical diagnoses.
Yeah. You just
F them all, Ted.
Bruins play tonight. I don't know if there's any pictures, anyone involved with Bruce Cassidy, but there was winning involved with Bruce Cassidy in Boston and in Vegas.
So our guy Dan Ball put this together. You know, Bruce Cassidy was 245, 108, and 46 in Boston.
That's pretty good.
Good thing we ran him out pretty of good. Town.
135, 71, and 25 in Vegas. So he still wins. New job.
He's and a Stanley Cup.
And a Stanley
He's
Cup.
He's kind of on the same, actually, on the same winning percentage track.
Guess Jim Montgomery's record so far in St. Louis.
What's that?
25, 16, and 6. Also a good winning record. It's funny. I don't think it's the coach.
Hmm. You know what? I don't think it's the coach either.
Doesn't seem like it's the coach. But, yeah, the Bruins are playing out the string a little bit here. I know there's some people. I heard Arcan the other night talking about he was on ESPN, and there was some article that was like, the Bruins' path to the playoffs. And he was like, wait, there's a path to the – and he clicked on it, and it was how they could get to the playoffs. But right now they are 30-30. Do you know that? They're perfect.
The old ESPN series.
Nope, just 30-30. That's their record. And here to talk about the Bruins, maybe Bruce Cassidy, I don't know, everything hockey, Andrew Raycroft from Nesson. Razor is brought to you by John Sewer and Drain Cleaning, the name to know when your drains don't flow. Before we get into the Bruins, Razor, and thank you for joining us today, by the way, on this first day of spring. We're doing a bracket here for our show, WEEI Afternoons, and the bracket is about nicknames. So we wanted to ask you, where'd you get your nickname? Why is your name Razor?
Hockey guys are pretty simple and not too creative. So any of the guys kind of that have Ray in their name, whether their first name's Ray or myself with Ray, it goes from Ray to Rays to Razor. Okay. So pretty simple, but I didn't get it until, I didn't have it when I was a kid. I didn't get it until I was, my late teenage years in junior hockey.
Well, yeah, it would have been better than like garbage bin or like dump truck, I guess.
Oh, it could have been. Yeah, no. I mean, there could have been a lot worse. So yeah, I'll take it. And it's thick. It's sticky. Yeah.
Oh, they always just add. Why do hockey guys always just? We were trying to
just
put
add
this,
why.
Literally, that's the whole thing.
It's not just hockey guys. It's
just add why.
Hockey and MLB both this very similar.
Oh yeah.
In how they do give nicknames to each other.
Bergie, yep. Marshy,
it's very Tito similar. Used to do that. Francona exactly. Used to add the IE or the Y yep, or whatever yep. to the end.
Those
of
hockey
it.
Baseball guys.
Yep. All right, Razor. Yeah. The fun's out of the way. We're watching some of these players that have been acquired or young players that have been brought up, and that's sort of what the Bruins are down the stretch here. Hustadinov, the guy they acquired in the trade, seems like he's putting the puck in the net. Seems like he's making some plays. I saw our guy Scott McLaughlin on WEEI.com today write a story about him. Is he a piece for the future?
Yeah, he could find his way into the bottom six. He's brought a great energy. He's got lots of pace. To his game. He has some skill that's starting to get opened up and have a little bit more time to breathe and get out on the ice and put himself in some more opportunities. Again, he's a restricted free agent at the end of the year, so he is fighting for his life in the NHL right now, and he's put a good show on here for the first 2 weeks out of the deadline. Now, there's still 13 more games left to continue that and show, but certainly he's on an audition, and so far so good.
Hey, Razor, what do you think about, now that, Brad Marshy's gone, that, you're kind of looking for guys to step up, right? We're all kind of the next question that we ask ourselves is who's going to be, the next captain. And, David Pastrnak has been having a phenomenal year, and I kind of saw him getting into it at the end of a game where he was refuting a call, and it just like, man, that's some leadership I don't always see from maybe Pasta. But of the candidates out there, Swayman, obviously Charlie McAvoy's not playing right now, but just David Pastrnak, have you seen maybe a change in attitude or a shift in attitude when it comes to Pasta now that Brad Marchand's gone?
Yeah, and I think we kind of saw it even right at the start of the season. I think in a little bit last year as well with David Krejci on, it feels like, he's taken more and more on, but this season it's a whole nother level. And even since the deadline, his meter is way up, and his physicality is way up, and just obviously what he does offensively for this team is invaluable. Again, he probably should have got MVP votes last year for where they ended up, and it was a lot because of him. And this season, still, if they ever found a miracle here and found a way to the playoffs, he's right at the top of the list, because without him, they're essentially nowhere this season. So his leadership has been quite impressive, and there's no question, no doubt that whether he's the captain or not, he is one of two or three guys that are the leadership group going forward for this team for a half dozen years at minimum.
We're talking to the legend that was Rays, but then became Razor, Andrew Raycroft, hockey analyst, NESN expert here with us on WEEI Afternoons. So Mike Milbury did an appearance on our morning show, and he was critical of Don Sweeney, saying that, you know, this summer they can't just go after a lot of role players, that the team obviously now, especially after the trades and everything, lacks high-end talent, and that they can't afford to miss any shots they take through free agency and beyond. Do you agree, and do you see them trying to go after more high-end talent, or do you see them just trying to find more effective middle-class players this summer and in further pursuits, Razor?
Oh, well, no, they're going to need to – they need to refill. You give up a Hall of Famer here at the deadline who's still worth 60 to 80 points. You need to fill that right off the top. But, you know, I would push back a little bit in saying that I think they thought they were getting more of an offensive impact player in Elias Lindholm. He was the best centerman on the market last season. I wouldn't put him in the role player category. So I think they took a big swing in free agency last year, and so far this year, it hasn't worked out, but you hope that there's a big bounce back next season because of that. But yeah, without question, you know, there you need to find. It seems as though you need to find wingers. You need to find high scoring wingers that can push the pace and create offensively on their own. And there's a few guys out there. And again, the good news is Boston is a very hockey friendly city for guys. Guys want to come play in Boston. They want to be Boston Bruins, and I think they'll be able to take advantage of that. But no question, they need to find scoring wingers over this offseason. Whether it's free agency or trades, they need more scoring up front.
Razor, coming out of the trades, the assets you have to work with moving forward, for whatever you call this, rebuild, retool, whatever you're going to describe it as, what do you think is more critical to the future over the next couple of years of the Boston Bruins? Is it the $29 million in cap space and how they spend that? Or is it maybe a top 10 pick and some of those other picks they acquired in the trades?
Yeah, well, so I'm a big, you know, I'm an NHL guy. I want NHL players. Yeah. I know how hard it is to draft in the NHL. It's just the hockey draft is different than you guys are talking a lot of football draft. It's just different. They don't just come into your lineup and play right away. These guys aren't 22, 23 years old. They're 18. And it's just such a difference in what you end up getting. Now, the top 10 pick, if it does fall there, and, you know, again, there's a ninth overall pick is much different than a fourth or fifth overall pick. So when you say top 10, there is still some cadence to that, in my opinion. But certainly their pick this season will have a lot more upside to that than what the Leafs pick next season is going to be, assuming the Leafs stay good and it's a 30th overall pick. That's just different in hockey. It's hard to find 30 guys that are going to make the league. So I'm a big salary cap guy. Whatever money you have, go spend it on, like we just talked about, some high-end wingers that are out there that are available. Make trades with the cap space that you have available. And then you hope you hit on a couple of these draft picks. But they're just not – it's just really hard to do. And again, a top 10 is a little bit better. We should see dividends on that pick a little bit quicker, but even a ninth overall pick is, you know, a year and a half away probably from making real impact.
Okay, Andrew, the Bruins play the Vegas Golden Knights tonight. They having a great year again this year, 39-28, first in the PAC division. You know, you got Bruce Cassidy, the former coach, of course, of the Bruins there. You know, what's his record there since he's been there? 135-71-25 in the regular season, already won a Stanley Cup. Just your thoughts on Bruce Cassidy, and are you surprised to see him doing as well as he has since he's gone on to coach the Golden Knights?
No, not at all, and especially with that lineup. And you talk about a team that doesn't care about draft picks and wants NHL players and is willing to turn over their first. They don't have any. They have their only first-round pick that they actually drafted since they came into the league in their lineup is the one they drafted last season. Everybody else is gone, or they had already traded them away. So they go for it. They're very aggressive as an organization, and
And, of course, Bruce Cassidy is a great coach. We saw how great he was in the 6 years he was here in Boston. And again, he's got an unbelievable lineup led by Jack Eichel, who's as good as you get down the middle, a second overall pick in the NHL. And they're built to win consistently from not just the center position, but their back end's exceptional as well.
All right, as we wrap up here, Razor, let's try to see if there's any way we can end on a hopeful, optimistic note. I don't want to, you know, create a downturn of a cliffhanger here. Let's just sort of see, like, 13 games remaining on the schedule. Obviously, everyone knows it's very daunting, and they traded away so much talent. But outline for me a path away. Maybe, just maybe, they can nip at the heels and even grab out of nowhere that last wild card spot.
You can win this week. If you're still in a position where, and this league and the playoff race is still in a spot in the season where you can win three in a row. So you could win three games in the next 5 days and be back in the mix and still have hope and still feel good about it. So, you know, as bad as a couple of these losses have been, when you're only 4 or 5 points out, you can find a way pretty quickly to jump back in. The last wild card team is Montreal right now. They play the Islanders tonight. One of those teams is going to lose. So there's so much back and forth that you go out west and you might be able to bank some points against teams that you're not playing against in the east. So 3 wins in a row will get you back in the mix and give yourself and give the team hope.
Razor, does a Canadian-born goalie fill out a bracket for the NCAA tournament?
It's funny. So I was a massive, like when I first started down here, college basketball, I was mad. Like, I would go to the Providence games and I was into it, and I'd win the bracket because I knew everybody and paid attention. It's funny. I just came downstairs and I asked my older guy, "You do any brackets?" He's got, of course, the kids now think they can fill out like 10 of them. He's like, "Oh yeah, I've got brackets everywhere." I did not. And I have no idea about college basketball anymore, but I used to, as a Canadian kid, love it. But I guess I've just gotten old or less, you know, just haven't paid attention enough.
Yeah, we're all getting old. It happens.
It does, bro.
Yeah. Gotta accept it.
I remember having, like, when we got to pick the Boston College Eagles, you know, like in 2000, 2001, like, they go on a run, they're the sixth seed, they pick Providence.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of from that old school place.
Yeah. Yes. When our teams aren't in it, it's harder to get excited. It's hard even sometimes when they are, but not exactly a college basketball town. Razor, thanks for joining us.
Thanks,
Razor. I think we'll talk to you next week, although it is opening day, so we'll get back to you on that. But maybe the Bruins are on a run by then.
You know what? We're not going to talk next week because next week is also the NCAA College Hockey Regionals that I just realized that I haven't let you guys know. So I'll be working down at ESPN, the mothership, all weekend, next weekend. And I'll be handcuffed to the desk for like 9 hours on Thursday.
All right.
Then talk to you in 2 weeks.
So enjoy opening day. Yeah, it's going to be a fun Red Sox season finally. And then we'll talk in a couple
weeks. Win three, baby. Let's win three.
Win three.
That's it.
Hopefully. All right, Razor. Thanks. We'll talk to you, man.
See you, bud.
See ya.
Right, yep.
Nesson analyst Andrew Razor Raycroft here with us on WEEI Afternoons. NCAA tournament is underway. Even if Razor didn't fill out a bracket, we all filled out brackets. Well, for Dan Ball, anyway. And up next, we're going to release our bracket here on WEEI Afternoons. Boston nicknames? Does that ring a bell? We'll talk about it next here.
You're listening to WEEI Afternoons
with Hart, Fitzy, and Johnson.
The ball is tipped, and there you are. You're running for your life, you're a shooting star, and all the years.
WEEI Afternoons, NCAA tournament is underway. I guess they want me to say that it's actually started on Tuesday. It didn't. It started today. I don't count those first four.
You don't count a part of the tournament as the tournament?
Nope. No, it's not. It starts at 64. Anything beyond 64 is not the NCAA tournament, because now they're going to add, what's the talk, 76, 79?
Going to go up to 109.
Stupid. Nope.
I think we're jumping the shark on this just a bit.
A little bit, but it's always money. Chase the money. No money involved, just fun in our WEEI Afternoons bracket. You may have seen the morning show doing their ick bracket. You may have seen the midday show doing their uniform bracket, which I've been voting in a lot.
I love the ick bracket. That's fantastic.
What is your top ick, Ted?
I mean, there's a million of them. I think probably sandals. The middle toe.
Yeah, flip flops.
Flip flops are fine, but sandals.
You don't like slides? Like the Adidas slide type thing?
I don't. I like the split toe.
Oh, I don't like the split toe.
Okay.
Well, I like the slide.
Let's go.
So I would say,
I would say one of the number one.
No, I mean, I don't.
I gotta beat traffic home anyway.
So if you guys want to, if you guys want to do that, that's cool.
I also on the midday one, the uniform photos.
Condo battle, yeah.
First of all, I love the topic of uniforms because there's a lot of cool uniforms out there.
One of my favorite topics as well.
But Billy, their producer Billy Lanny, who puts the photos online for the two examples.
Yeah.
I end up getting swayed by the player in the uniform.
Really?
Like. It was Royals versus somebody, but it was Bo Jackson. I was like, I'm voting for that. I love Bo Jackson. There was a Jose Canseco Devil Ray.
Great uniform.
It is beautiful.
The Royal, like the 1980s, George Brett, Steve Balboni. You know, Quisenberry, George Brett. Like, that's a
gorgeous. I'm also a sucker for any of the light blues. Okay. I feel like I vote for all.
You're an orange guy. Powder blue. Keep going.
Oh, the Chargers.
Really? You think of powder blue uniforms? You think of the Chargers?
Yeah, what else am I? Carolina blue?
Yes.
North Carolina.
I'll say.
He's gonna hit me.
Say
people.
Number 34. Earl Campbell.
Yeah. Oh, yes. Oh, the Oilers. Oh, they're rocketing up the bracket.
They're going. Those uniforms are the original powder blues.
The tearaways.
As they say, everybody, take it easy, huh? Let's all take it easy. Let's make nice, huh?
A little before
now
our time.
Now you can't leave. Jeez.
A little bit.
I mean, I'm not as. What's going on here? Quite as old, so I don't remember Earl. 34 to me is Bo Jackson.
34 okay. to oh, now see, 34 to a lot of our audience is the 5 years before World War II. They were just born. No, 34. I'll get a memo about that. 34 is Paul Pierce.
Oh, stop it. I'm kidding. I don't really need you to dump it. Anyway, so they got in the mornings, they got the icks. In the middays, they got the uniforms. We have nicknames. And we're also a little lazy, so we don't have 64, we have 32. The bracket is on WEEI.
It's the entry level. The rule is, if you're a new show, you can only have 32.
Oh, okay, that's why we did it.
Yes.
It's got nothing to do with anything else, that's why. Okay. So we have 32 nicknames broken down, obviously, generically, clichély, into four brackets. Bruins, Celtics, Red Sox, and Patriots.
Mm-hmm.
So without getting into the voting just yet, because we're going to actually put the first on Twitter at 5 o'clock, so on the WEEI Afternoons page, follow it if you don't already, at WEEI Afternoons. We'll probably retweet it from our personal accounts to get it out and about.
It's called amping.
Is that what it's called?
Yeah, amping? Amplify.
All right, we're going to amp the hell out of that thing. Mm-hmm. But we started with a big pool of nicknames, right? Mm-hmm. And some of them are old, some of them are more modern. The one thing I want to tell people, and I think they're having a little bit of trouble with this in the middays, if you think the Celtics uniform is legitimately one of the greatest uniforms of all time, vote for it. But don't just vote for the Celtics because you like the Celtics. You're a Celtics fan. Same thing. If you like Tom Brady, don't vote for his nickname just because you like Tom Brady. Vote for the best nickname. One, for example, I think Ben Jarvis Green Ellis, he's in the running. The law firm. I think that's one of the greatest nicknames of all time.
Super creative.
He wasn't a great player. He was a 1,000-yard rusher once or whatever.
He was a hoss.
But to me, if it's the GOAT versus Ben Jarvis Green Ellis, the law firm, I'm voting law firm. Because the GOAT is really Muhammad Ali. Brady stole it from him. The real GOAT is Muhammad Ali. So I would ask if you could vote actually for the nickname.
Can we make predictions right now? Like, we all have filled in our brackets. Some of us were dumb enough to pick Louisville over Creighton, so there goes that.
You're out.
Money well spent. There was a charity involved. It's fine. But if we all had... So we all think... Like, I think Duke's going to win, spoiler alert, the March Madness.
Very popular pick this year,
which means they won't, so everyone, congratulations.
If you didn't pick...
He's healthy. He's playing. He's fine. I think.
Okay.
So let's all pick who we think is going to win.
The greatest nickname
in Boston sports history.
I think is going to win.
Okay, yes.
The GOAT.
I have, nope.
And I think it's because they're going to vote for the player, not for the nickname.
I think Gronk beats out the GOAT.
That's not a great nickname either. When you just shave part of the name off.
But think about how much goes into the nickname.
The neck is better than Gronk.
The Gronk is just like it's everything. He was like, I mean, I know the GOAT obviously was the greatest of all time, but like, come on, it's Gronk.
The hoodie. I feel like the Patriots are going to do well. I think, but the interesting thing is
Patriots will not win.
Who you got winning?
Big Poppy.
You think Poppy's going to win?
That's my favorite nickname.
I do like
you love it
Rocket.
When, call me Big
I think
Poppy.
Rocket was a like that era of baseball for me. Roger Clemens, that right. big old ace who's throwing 20 strikeouts, throwing gas or what was gas back then. Now would be a
it was still in the 90s. Up. I'm also looking forward to a lot of the geniuses and wizards of the X platform, a.k.a. Twitter, writing, hey, how come you missed this nickname?
We're going to get a ton of those, and you know what? I'm here for it.
That's fine.
It's okay. Guess
Go ahead,
what?
Just don't be a dink about it.
We'll do it again next year if we have to. We'll put all the ones that we missed in next year.
Oh, and by the way, to everyone, to the few people that wrote in like, oh, wow, how creative a bracket. It's March. This is what people do. We just gave you guys one to engage with and get to know how we think as a show.
And so, they told us we had to.
And they told us we had to.
And at gunpoint, which I thought was aggressive.
I didn't even know Ken had a gun. Yeah, kind of surprised me.
It's huge.
It was like that meme online where it was like, call an ambulance, but not for me. And he pulled out the gun.
But not for me.
You heard Mayo walking around with the bat. He's
like, no kidding.
Right,
I didn't know he was that kind of boss.
And then there was Curtis in the corner on a leash.
In about 4 minutes, our bracket, the first voting opportunity will be live on Twitter at WEEI Afternoons. Right now, you can see the entirety of the 32 nickname field to see what you're going to be voting for down the line. I do think Poppy has a good chance to win it all, but we'll see. The people will speak, the people will vote, and we'll tell you what happens as we ride that roller coaster along the way. Coming up here on WEEI Afternoons, we're going to get back to the Celtics. I feel like when a team in town is sold for $7 billion, we should probably talk about it. And Ted Johnson tells me I have an interesting theory on how the winning bidder or the losing bidder may have ended up that way. I'll tell you what that is next here on WEEI Afternoons.